On it.
Not on yet.
I'm gonna mute. Good evening.
Good evening. Walker.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hannah's on too. She's muted already.
I understand. We will begin. We are counting the order, the Omer first. Last night was the second night of the Omer. And you can find the counting of the Omer on the Unique Astrological Times link. If you scroll down about 60% of the way, you'll find a section titled the Omer Count. And the first link under that will open up to the landing page with all of the 49 days. And as I said, yesterday was the second, so we picked the link to the page that is for the evening of April 22nd. And the first step is to say a L'shem Yehud that is specifically for the counting of the Omer.
Randala.
Good evening.
Good evening.
L'shem Yehud Kutcha Barichu B'shin Kite. Idhilu Urchimu Urchimu Udhilu Liakta Shem Yudhe Bavate Beyehuda Shalem Beshem Kol Yisrael Inea Nachnu Bayem Lekayem Mitzvat Sefirata Omer La Sot Nahat Ruach Loyot Srenu Vela Sot Rason Borenu Vaino Amadonai Lohinu Alena Maseya Dena Penene Alena Maseya Dena Penenehu. Step two is to say some verses from the Psalms that are related to the counting of the Omer and unifying the steps. So the first one is Psalm 138, verse 8. Adonai igmor badi, Adonai hasdecha, leolam maaseyadecha. El Teref. Next, it's Psalm 57, verse 3. Echra la'el, la'elohim, elyon la'el, gomer alai. Now it's Ezekiel, verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 6. V'echevor alai, ya'alai, v'erech mitposeset, v'damayich, v'yomar lach bedayich, kai v'yomar lach bedamayich, chaye. And next is Psalm 104, verse 1. Barki nafshi et Adonai Elohim Elohai gadalta And the last is verse from Psalms 104, verse 2. O te or kasalma no te shemaim kairia. Now we will do the blessing. The last two words and the first letters are in large letters on the handout. And that's to indicate the gematria of 65 connecting to the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Sefirat HaOmer. Hayom Shilosha Yamim LaOmer. Today is the third day of the Omer. The number three is a tool for us to use to contemplate our actions, to contemplate our consciousness, to contemplate in what areas of our life are we not acting properly? In what areas of our life are we allowing our emotions to be in control rather than being in a serene state of patience, happiness, and joy? The number three is a reunification number and a reunification tool. Yesterday, when we were talking about the number two, the number two is a number of that isn't the number one. The number two is a number of separation. I'm one and you're two. We are not unified. But when we come to the number three and we get the idea of the number one plus the other two, we become unified. So who are the other two, or who is the number one? The number one is Hashem. The other number two are the two different human beings. And when they connect to the number three, they reunify into one complete whole of a right column, a left column, and a central column. And now for the Or Panimi, the inner light. Arachamanu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash limkoma bimhara b'yameinu. Amen. Step six is the connection to Psalm 67. And we have not yet studied Psalm 67. We're approaching it. We will during the Omer counting. But if you'll follow along, you'll see the connection. We will use a word within the psalm plus a letter within the psalm to evaluate our emotional state, to evaluate our character actions. Psalm 67 has 49 words, and it has 49 letters in the middle verse. But we don't count the first verse as part of it, although it's part of it. We just recognize that it's an announcing verse, And all of the first verses in the Psalms, the first verse is an announcing verse. It's very useful, it's very informative, and it's much to learn from it. But for this purpose, we don't count it. But we do say it. Lam natsaya bingino mizmor shir. Elohim yechanenu vivarkenu. Vivarkenu means to and bless us. One of the tools to use that will change the way you act and the way you manifest the goodness that other people are saying to you. Whenever you say a blessing, or whenever you hear a blessing, you manifest it with the word Amen. And we know that Amen means the unity of Zeran Pin and Malchut, the unity of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Hashem is 26, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. Together, they're 91. This is the gematria of the word Amen. This is why we say Amen whenever we hear a blessing. Because by saying Amen, we are creating returning light, which is how things manifest. And when we create the returning light, eventually that light comes to us and manifests as we are supposed to do. So when somebody gives you a blessing, when somebody says something nice to you, we've been taught to say thank you. But before you say thank you, whisper or say Amen, because this is the way you manifest the goodness to come into your life. Ya'er pana vitanu sela. Ladat ba'aretz darkecha bekol goyim yeshuatecha. Yoducha mim Elohim, Yoducha mim kulam. Now this verse has 49 letters, and we will use one letter each night. Ismehu, the letter Mem. The letter Mem is a mother letter, which connects to loving kindness, or the Sephirah of Chesed. And water is the manifestation of Chesed in the living world, in the physical world. So the question we need to contemplate is, how can we increase our connection to loving kindness? How can we share more while removing your expectations to receive something in return? Yoducha amim Elohim, Yoducha amim kulam. Eretz natna yivula yivarkenu. Elohim, Eloheinu, Yivarkanu, Elohim, V'yiru Oto, Kol Afsei Aretz. Next, we will say the Ana B'Koach. Now, we are taught that the Ana B'Koach is a 42-letter name of God. But when we form a seventh word in each verse, we have 49 words. And we will use one of the letters each night to monitor, to meditate, to understand our own reactions. Please join me. We'll stop at the third letter for third word tonight. Anabetoa Gedulat. The Gimel. Meditate on the letter Gimel, which has a gematria of the number 3. The Gimel has the meaning of render or ripen. And with different vowels, it means a camel. What is the nature of a camel? What does it mean to ripen? There's patience involved in letting it ripen. Is there patience in a camel? How much do you know about camels? The camel conserves water within itself so it can travel across the desert where there's little water. But water has the consciousness of loving kindness. So the camel is holding on to the loving kindness, using it for itself. And that's something we need to learn to do, to use loving kindness for ourselves. Filling ourselves with loving kindness until we reach the point that we have sufficient for ourselves that we can share it. And this is the nature of the camel. Because it doesn't carry water, it carries water within it. So when the camel rider needs water, there's a way for the camel to expel that water and be used by a human being. Gedulat Yamincha Tatir Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Acharenu Nora Tufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Keval Vat Shamrein Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharet Rachame Sitkatan Tamid Gamle Betet Resh Zadi Taf Gimel Tayatin Kadosh Tero Tucha Nahel Adatecha Et Kuf Bet Tet Dunayim Yatid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Ta'alumo Shin Kufal Zadiyuta. And the 8th verse we say in a whisper. Before we finalize our contemplation and meditation, we have 42 journeys that took place in the desert. The more we learn about these, more helpful it is in controlling our emotions, in controlling our reactive behavior. The third journey in the list is to travel from Sukkot to Etham, which is at the end of the desert. The Etham in ancient Egyptian means the seashore. Some identify Etham with the Egyptian Sitam, which denotes a fortress. After early childhood, when we are completely dependent on parents for sustenance and protection, we begin to emerge from the fortress as we start to develop a sense of independence. And this stage is comparable to a seashore, a boundary between exploring the new world around us and scurrying back for approval and guidance from our parents. At this phase in our lives, we are not yet quite thrown into the desert by ourselves, yet we are at its edge as we become acquainted with an alien and insensitive world. In what way do we need to explore our limits, our boundaries? And the final paragraph of this normal counting of the Omer. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirat ha'omer, yedei letacharenu, mikli potenu, tumatenu. Kimo shekatavta betorata huspartem lachem mimcharat ha-shabbat miyom haviachem et yo-omer ha-tenufa sheva shabbatot temimot tiyina mimcharat ha-shabbat ha-shvit Tesafru chamishim yom kedei sheitacharu nafshot amcha Yisrael nezochamatam uvechein yehi ratzon milpanecha Hashem Eloheinu Elohai avoteinu shevisut sepirata omer Shesifarti hayom, yetukan ma shebagamti, sefira. Tiferet shebechesed. Tiferet shebechesed represents beauty within loving kindness. It represents balance within loving kindness. In what way do we need to guard our balance? What tools do we have that guards our balance? How do we find loving kindness beautiful? In what way can we expand the beauty of our actions through the utilizing loving kindness more often? Vietadesh Vikdusha Shel Ma'ala Amen Selah. Now remember, the last word is Selah, and we have learned whenever you say Selah, take a moment to contemplate all that you have just done. This is what we should do after the class tonight. Contemplate ways to improve ourselves, the ways that we can be better tomorrow than we were today. Tonight, one of the founders of the Kabbalah Center, the teacher of Rabbi Berg, who passed away in 2004 or 5, I believe, Rabbi Yehuda Tzvi Brandwein was his teacher, and he appointed him, and together they expanded the Kabbalah Center outside of Israel. This was the idea of Rabbi Berg and his wife Karen, along with Rabbi Yehuda Tzvi Brandwein. And Rabbi Brandwein was a descendant of the Magid de Mezrich, the second main student of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Meir Halevi Abulafia Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, he is known as the Rav. He's as famous as the Rebbe of Chabad, but his role and his goal was not the same, and so his group is smaller today. But as we know in spirituality, less is more. And the Rebbe went to school in France with Rav Soloveitchik. They were Torah study partners. So you begin to see how today we may see groups of Jews not in sync with each other. At the level of the Tzaddikim, they are always in sync with each other. And Rabbi Moshe Ellenson. In step 11, it's not something you need to do every night, but there are 55 prophets and prophets. We have 49 days, which means we have the opportunity to connect with all of the prophets through the counting of the Omer if we would just take a little extra moment and see who is the prophet for this day. And the prophet associated with Tiferet Shebechesed is Yaakov Avinu. Can you understand why he is associated with this Sephirah? And we have a step 12. As well, and I would suggest that you study that from one day or another from time to time, as you will find it helpful in assessing how you become a better person today than where you were yesterday. And understand about the counting of the Omer. It's not something that I can tell you this is what you need to do. It's something you have to decide for yourself. What don't you like about yourself? What do you want to change? And then work on changing it. Because as we know, change is the only constant in the universe. Change is the only steps that we need to establish for ourselves. Now, our class tonight is the writings of the Ari for the holiday of Passover, Pesach. And you will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left, will provide you a landing page. And then if you scroll down to the holiday of Pesach and open the third page, which is titled Soul Conversation, this is a writing of the Ari where he basically is explaining code words within one story. And as you see these code words explained, I become amazed, because I would never think in terms of those code words meaning what the Ari teaches us they mean. In paradise, you will eat the bread of the Torah that you studied while you were in this world. The word in the handout is that world, because the Ari lived in the spiritual world. We, unfortunately, maintain our existence in the physical world. The following is a nice mystical interpretation of the Exodus from Egypt, as an allusion to the departure of the soul from the body after the death of that body. When Pharaoh sent the Jewish people forth, this refers to when the soul departs the body. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is the neck, for the body is stubborn. Stubbornness rules over the body, which is Egypt. Do you see the code words? Do you see how the Ari is explaining them? The Hebrew word for Pharaoh, Peresh Ayin He, is composed of the same letters as the word for the neck, Haoref, He Ayin Resh Pe. As we have explained previously, the idiom for stubborn in Hebrew is stiff-necked. The body may be described as stubborn since it insists on imposing its gross material perspective on the soul. Egypt Mitzrayim means constrictions. Mitzrayim and is an apt term for the body since it limits the powers of the soul to those of this world, forcing it to conceive of everything in terms of time and space, and limiting our understanding of the beauty of the soul. That was an unwritten commentary. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. Now, I'm reminding you that the idea of hardening the heart is not the way it sounds. Hardening of the heart brings a person back to the level of free will. Instead of being coerced by the pain and suffering of this world. I'm continuing to read. When the soul leaves the body, the powers of the evil inclination set out to chase the soul in order to harm it. This is because the evil inclination is also the accusing angel. And after taking the soul from the body, it pursues it in order to harm it and take vengeance upon it. But as an unwritten commentary, the evil inclination runs after the soul to gather whatever energy is left. It's not doing it because it wants to punish you. It's doing it because you still have energy when you leave the body. And it wants all the energy it can get. Continuing. It is enough, the soul complains, that I had to live a whole life in this grave of the body. Why must I suffer further? Is that a reasonable question? Are you saying, or is the body saying, the soul saying, I know better than Hashem? Yeah, I did a few things wrong, but I cleanse them. Why do I have to be pursued by these negative entities? Obviously, God's got done something wrong, God forbid. This is what human beings say, and this is what the soul has learned to say, contrary to its nature. I'm continuing to read a very important statement. As the sages have said, the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, the angel of death, the Malach HaMavet, and the accusing angel, Satan, are all one. He overtook them while they were camping by the sea. The sea refers to purgatory, to Gehinnom. It is known as the river of fire. I have a difference of opinion, but it's the Ari who said this, so I have to back away. He's using these metaphors to help us understand. The river of fire is known as the river Dinur. But the question I am asking, isn't the river of fire different than Gehinnom? It's got two different Hebrew words, two different Hebrew expressions. And the answer is yes. It is different, but here the Ari is saying, for this purpose, look at it this way. Continuing. When the soul leaves the body, it must first be purged of the existential crust of materialism and negativity that it acquired during its stay in the physical world. Only then can it proceed to experience the pure spirituality of paradise. Continuing the understanding of the Torah. Pharaoh drew near to give the soul over to the agents of damage and the inflictors of pain to torture them. The children of Israel raised their eyes and caught sight of the Egyptians advancing at their rear, and they became frightened, very frightened. So the children of Israel cried out to God. In order for the soul to be purified of its worldly material crust, it must be made to experience the extent to which this materialism is antithetical to truth and spirituality. This is an agonizing, torturous awakening. They said to Moses, meaning the good inclination, was it for want of graves in Egypt that you brought us to die in the desert? Now that you see all this pain and suffering these powers of evil are inflicting upon me, this battering in the grave, the Hebrew phrase is chibut hakever, the beating in the grave, was it not enough pain that I had to be buried and suffer inside the body and the constrictions of the physical world that I must now experience as well this pain in the grave? And I have been taken to die again in the desert, in purgatory, the desolate abode of the forces of evil. Here is where vengeance is extracted from the soul. Notice it doesn't say this is where vengeance is put upon the soul. The soul refers to its birth into a physical body as being buried inside a grave. Death is not seen as a sensation of existence, but rather as a descent from one spiritual level to a lower one. It is enough, the soul complains, that I had to live a full life in this grave of the body. Why must I suffer further? The image of the soul being battered in the grave refers to how it is existentially shaken of its materialistic incrustation, as above described. What is this that you have done to us, taking us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we spoke to you about in Egypt, saying, leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. It is better for me in the body. I may as well have submitted to the evil inclination in the physical world. At least then I would not be suffering this pain I am suffering now. By being shown the truth and the splendor of spirituality, the soul is rudely awakened to the triviality of all the things the body convinces it to be important in this world. This realization of the futility and emptiness of the material life of the physical world is more painful than any pain that can be experienced in the physical world itself. There's a lot in this commentary that was made by the translator. I'm continuing. As the sages say, against your will you are born, and against your will you will live. The opposite is true of the tzaddik. He yearns for death from this world in order to go on to live in the world of truth. As the sages say, against your will you are born and against your will you live. As we all become tzaddikim eventually, we all yearn to leave this physical world. But normally, we're not at that level of the tzaddik. And so we learn about it. We strive for it, and we hunger to leave this world rather than fighting it and wanting to stay in this world, like most people. But Moses said to the people, have no fear. The good inclination tells the soul, have no fear of this punishment, for it is for your own good. Through it, you will be rid of these inflictors of pain and be spared the ordeal of purgatory. All the powers of impurity will remain there in this sea, in this river of fire. Stand firm and witness the deliverance that God will perform for you today. By means of the purification process of purgatory, you will be cleansed of your sins. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. For they will remain in purgatory. Toward the end of the night, God looked down upon the camp of the Egyptians with the pillar of fire and cloud. This refers to the descent of the soul to be judged in purgatory. when this is over, when the judgment is over, when the pain of getting to purgatory is over, and I am adding, and read this carefully, after death, every soul, yes, every soul, including the tzaddikim, go to Gehinnom, to hell. And after the final spiritual court ruling, the tzaddik leaves hell and rises to the lower Garden of Eden. The tzaddik takes souls with him or her. These souls have only this method to leave Gehinnom. And this is the reason that one chooses a Rebbe. This choice helps the soul attach to the Rebbe when the Rebbe leaves hell. When the Tzaddik Rebbe leaves hell. Continuing. He threw the camp of the Egyptians into confusion. And this refers to the powers of the evil inclination, who are cast into the sea where they remain. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, while the water formed a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Hebrew word for wall is choma, which is written the same as the word for anger, chema. Same letters, different vowels. The powers of evil are angry as the soul departs pure purgatory, purified of its material dross. Moses then caused the children of Israel to set out from the Sea of Reeds, and they went out from the desert of Shur. They walked for 3 days in the desert without finding any water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water at Marah, for the water was bitter. That was why the place was named Marah, bitter. After the soul departs purgatory, it starves for 3 days, since it spends 3 days without learning Torah. Torah is the nourishment of the soul, enabling it to endure purgatory before entering paradise. The people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? Since we have not learned any Torah, the Torah is a tree of life to those who hold fast to it." God showed Moses a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. It was there that he gave the people a statute and a law, and there he tested them. The good inclination shows the soul the reward awaiting it in the world that is coming. The idiom statute also means provision. The word for tested also means lifted up. As it is about to enter paradise, God prepares the soul by telling that it is about to experience the true value of the mitzvot it performed while in the body. This sweetens the water of Torah, which it may have experienced as bitter deprivation in the physical world. That is a wrong perception. Torah is never bitter, but we may perceive it as bitter, and that's the point being made. He said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is upright in his eyes, carefully listening to all his mitzvot and observing all of his statutes, his chok, then none of the sicknesses that I brought on Egypt will I bring upon you, for I am God who heals you." God promises the soul that since it observed the Torah during its life in the physical world, and underwent its purification process in purgatory, it will no longer experience any of the negativity and depression of evil, for it has been cured of all these. In other words, the future tense of the verse should be read as in the past tense, since you diligently heeded the voice. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they encamped by the water. There are 12 rivers of pure spiritual water surrounding paradise, corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. Every soul of each tribe immerses in its respective river in order to be cooled from the fire of purgatory and healed of its wounds. In the circumcision of the heart, there are 2 stages as well. They moved on from Elim, and I will mention that stopping at Mara and drinking the water at Mara after it was sweetened by the tree, which is the tree of life, every Jewish soul went through the soda ritual and were confirmed that no Jewish soul had done idol worship within the land of Egypt. Do you think that can be said today about the world of America that we live in, that our sages have called Egypt? Do you think that we are not committing idol worship? So they moved on from Elim, and the entire community of Israel came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th of the second month after they had left Egypt, there in the desert, the entire community of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. After all this, there's one more stage before the soul enters paradise. It immerses again to be judged in the flame of the revolving sword. And this is referred to here as the desert of sin. When Adam and Eve were banished from paradise, God placed the flame of the revolving sword at the entrance to guard it. This purifying fire is a much more subtle one than that of purgatory, and is necessary in order to remove the subtle materialism that still remains after the preliminary purification that was accomplished there. And this may be compared to the 2 stages of circumcision. After removing the thick foreskin, the thick mucous membrane must be peeled back as well. The thin mucous membrane. Neglecting to do this invalidates the circumcision. Similarly, in the circumcision of the heart, there are 2 stages as well. There is a 3rd step when discussing the Brit Milah. You remove the foreskin, you split the membrane, and you remove the last vestige of judgment and negativity through the swallowing of the blood from the baby's organ. But obviously the translator did not want to bring that into revealment. He left it out. I'm continuing to read. The children of Israel said to them, "If only we had died by the hands of Hashem in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you have taken us out to this desert to starve this entire congregation to death." The soul is complaining about this more subtle punishment as well, but it undergoes it, and when it passes this stage and wants to enter paradise, God tells it, "I am going to rain down bread for you from the sky. Here in paradise, you will eat a lot of the bread of the Torah that you studied while you were in that world. And this Torah is the nourishment of the soul. It is the 248 limbs and 365 sinews of the soul, which are the 613 mitzvot that form the soul's garment. The Torah itself, as distinct from the mitzvot, is the soul's nourishment. If someone did not occupy himself with the study of Torah day and night in the physical world, he has nothing to eat in the world of the souls, even though he may have something to wear performed by the mitzvot that he performed. The people will go out and gather each day's portion. In paradise, the soul collects the daily reward and nourishment." The entire community of the children of Israel moved on from the desert of sin on their journeys, according to the word of Hashem. After receiving its reward in the lower level of paradise, the soul goes on to the upper level of paradise, referred to as Sinai, in order to receive new levels of the Torah from the mouth of Hashem. The letter Yud is added to Sin to give Sinai. They encamped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Amalek then came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. The higher one ascends in spirituality. The more the previous levels he was on appear to be gross and crass. But before it ascends to the upper level of paradise, there is another type of purgatory it must traverse, more subtle than the river of fire, in order to burn away those sins. This is the sins of the righteous that are as tenuous as a thread of hair. The gross sins have already been rectified by the lower purgatory. The higher one ascends in spirituality, the more the previous levels he was on appear to be gross and crass. Thus, at a higher level, a person may come to consider a way of thinking or behaving he had previously considered spiritual or good to be egocentric or childish. In order to proceed to the higher perspective of reality, he must rid himself of the lower one, which is now finds embarrassing and even shameful. This is why Hashem judges a righteous to the breadth of a string of hair. Their higher standard of being makes the attitudes or actions that would be normally considered innocuous or even meritorious look depraved in context. The higher purgatory is called Rephidim, which alludes to the righteous whose hand grasp of the commandments is weak. According to the Talmud and Sanhedrin, the implication of the name Rephidim is that there the Jews loosened their hand grip on the study of the Torah, for the word Rephidim is derived from the root Rapheh, Resh Peh Heh, which means loose or weak. This means that in Rephidim, the Jews did not perform God's mitzvot properly. but in laziness and unwillingly. Similarly here, the soul has already gained entrance to the lower level of paradise. But in order to enter the upper paradise, it must have performed mitzvot in the physical world in love, with great desire and will. It receives its punishment for not having done this in this upper purgatory, which is synonymous with Amalek, the highest level of impurity. The subtle fire that is perennially at war with Israel. Thus Amalek then came and fought against Israel in Rephidim, means because of Rephidim, because of weak performance. Amalek is synonymous with uninspired, unenthusiastic performance of Hashem's mitzvot. As it is written, Amalek, who cools you up on your way to receive the Torah. And this is the end of the class for tonight. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will have a Torah study for the reading of Passover, Pesach. I hope you'll join us. Shalom to all. Shalom gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Have a good night.
Shalom.